Welcome to the Kingdom Life podcast, where we equip ourselves with godly wisdom so that we can go into the world as kings and priests, manifesting all that the kingdom of God is.
We have to come to terms with a couple of things. One, the doctrines that we stand by. One, that God himself is creator of all things. He's not creator only, he's creator, possessor, and sustainer of all that is created. Therefore, our relationship with God must be the highest priority of our lives. And the reason for why we go into times of worship is, again, it is God's way of bringing fallen humanity back to the image and likeness he created them to be initially. Now, when we come to worship God in praying God's will, you'll find this. When you come to give thanks and worship and praise to God, God is not an egomaniac. He's not sitting on the throne waiting for you to give him praise and it's going to change him. It's not going to make him feel better, you see? What praise and worship really does, it realigns us to the image and likeness of God. Because as you begin to say, God, you are kind, what you're hearing is really not only that you are kind, and God's response to us is, and so are you, because you are created in my image and likeness. You hear what I'm saying? The word of God is the realigning of the brokenness of our lives to the truth of God's word. Because Satan in the garden, when he spoke to Eve, what he did was, he questioned what? The word. Did God really say in the garden? Did God really say? He put doubt on God's word, on God's trust, reliability, on God's desire to see you grow and develop and flourish. Is this making sense?
Yes.
And so when we're reading the word, it cannot be, I'm reading the word because the church expects me to do quiet times or devotions in the morning. No, it is about realignment. Because the only way you are able to be transformed into the image and the likeness of God is through the correct application of the word in your life. Amen. And so from a spiritual place, we have found, and because I'm a cognitive behavioral therapist, I know that's big words, but all it says is, the biblical understanding is in Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that a living sacrifice. And how are we going to start to transform? By the renewing of your mind. And cognitive behavioral therapy is about focusing on the mind. Yes, you are going to feel depressed. Yes. Anxiety is there because what is anxiety? It's the fear of the unknown. You don't know what the future is going to hold. You're not sure how life's going to pan out for you. The phobias that we have are linked to events in our lives that we've had. I just prayed for a lady last week that works with me. She's a snake catcher. Of course, she's white. So she's a snake catcher. And so in the village, whenever there's a snake, you called Unsee to catch the snake. And the week before, we had a puff adder on the village. And she caught the snake. And so she's like your female Crocodile Dundee. You know? And then 2 weeks ago, we both are sitting in the office, and a little spider goes up the wall. And she's like, get it out, get it out. And She's a tall lady. She jumps on the table, shouting that we need to take that spider down. I'm like, who are you? How did you just transform from being a snake catcher to somebody afraid of spiders? And we started to talk about it. And when she was 4 years old, what her cousins did, because she was the only girl in the family and she was always with the boys, and so she was the regular Crocodile Dundee, what they did was one day is they caught a whole lot of spiders, and she's got very crude hair. They put it into her hair. And as much as she realized that was a childhood trauma, that was what happened, that's what naughty children do. But it so impacted her for the rest of her life. And she was really set free from that phobia. Okay, so these things can happen. There is an answer to every crisis. Now, the other thing that causes depression is prolonged grief and undealt with grief. If there's been loss in your life, there has to be a time of unpacking that. Unpacking that means that we need to sit down and talk about the way we feel, our disappointments, our fears, all the sense of feeling I was unworthy or I did something wrong. All the things that the accuser brings to throw at you needs to be processed. So what we call grief, grief is really about you saying it's like it's a metabolic process. Like in your when you're eating food, you have a metabolic process for the food to break down. And grief is a way that God's created for you so that you can process the grief and deal with it. You see what I'm saying? And it doesn't only have to be the loss of a person in your life. It could be a loss of a job. You see what I'm saying? It could be a loss of status. It could be the loss, this is sounding weird, but a loss of health. I went into depression because of a loss of health. When you've been independent and you've been out there doing your own stuff and being engaged and not relying on other people, and suddenly you need to depend on others, there's a sense of loss. A loss in terms of marriage, where you might be living, you know, with your husband and you're living, you know, that song, I'm sleeping single on a double bed. Where there's no relationships, the kids have grown up, the thing that has kept you together as a couple has been the children. And you push through, and you push through, and you push through, and you think it's okay. That's why you see so many men, 45 and 50, are running off with a floozy down the road that's the age of their daughter. It's because they've not dealt with this gap in their lives. Their whole life has been geared around their children, mothers as well, geared around children, and that loss has not been processed in terms of investing in their own lives. And so taking care of yourself is also God's way of allowing you to, when the crisis happens and there are gaps in your life through life experiences, as you grieve the process, then you are able then to become more resilient in terms of how you move forward. Is this making sense?
Yes.
Good. You're the only one that's listening now. And in spite of Ricky saying they haven't slept, I think they've gone off to sleep. Okay. So this idea then that depression is something that's out there is a lie. The Bible has enough examples of people being depressed. Enough examples of people being depressed. And you just have to go through them from the Old Testament. Moses, do you hear Moses say, please kill me now? God, just kill me now. The deepest of depression, I do not want to live. The purpose for my life is not something that's keeping me propelling forward. I want to die. Elijah, after killing the 450 prophets of Baal, then ran away because the lady... Guys, listen very carefully. Ladies have amazing power. They have superpower. You can be a big deal at work, but when you come home and when you're around your daughters, they have got you sorted. And so there's a man of God that saw fire come down from heaven, running away, depressed, sad, and broken. New Testament, Paul says in the book of Titus, I've despaired of life itself, but thank God that Titus came and comforted me. Despair of life, what is that?
Depression.
Jesus, in the garden, sweated blood. There was an overwhelming grief. The book of Hebrews says that he cried out with great cries and of pain, having to go to the cross. And on the cross, he makes a statement. My Father, why have you forsaken me? This is the reality of our fallen humanity. Do not be fooled when the enemy comes in and attacks you and says you shouldn't feel this, what type of Christian you are, quote three scriptures, fast for 3 days, stand on your head, do a Daniel fast. Like, please, they're good, that's fine. But a depressed person doesn't need all of those things. What did I say they need? They need connection.
Thank you for joining us as we equipped, prepared, and edified ourselves for the week ahead. As you go into the world, may the Lord bless you, protect you, look on you with favor, and keep you. Until next time, God bless.